This is Harry Murray and Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Going to do our podcast today for the month of November, showing you what we're experiencing, what we expect to be going on, some of the fishing both for trout and bass, and the tactics we use and that type of thing. Okay, first of all, since the brook trout are spawning in the mountain streams, we're not fishing that. However, there is some wonderful fishing on the rich streams with this olive hatch. Streams like the Latorte, Big Spring Creek, Falling Springs, Fisherman Paradise over at Belpont, all of these are providing some outstanding dry fly fishing for the little blue-winged ollies. This is some of my favorite fishing of the whole year. Normally, this little olive hatch is on from about 2 until 4 in the afternoon. However, on heavily overcast days, these duns can be coming off all day, and the fish will feed heavily on them all day. My favorite flies for these are the parachute betas in a size 18, a CDC blue-winged olive in an 18, and the Mr. Rapidan parachute drying at 18. These are all very effective. Some are better some days than others, so I just experiment back and forth. I find the most exciting fishing on this hatch is going one-on-one with rising trout. Now, they can be very selective on us getting a drag-free drift. They've been pounded pretty hard all year. The water is low, the water is clear, and they can be very, very selective on the drag. What I like to do is use a slackline cast. There are two that I use. The puddle cast that Vince Marinaro developed a long time ago is my favorite. The way I do the puddle cast, I'll spot my trout out there feeding. I'll make the presentation cast with maybe an extra of 5 to 10 feet of line in the air. I'll stop my forward presentation cast about 45 degrees over the stream. Stop it right there. With that extra line, that lets the leader and the line fall in a puddle. This creates slack on the stream. The fly will drift naturally. It really is very effective. That's my favorite slack line cast, and the more you use it, the more you'll come to rely on it, because I'll never forget the first time Vince ever showed it to me. I just couldn't believe the drifts he was getting. There is one other cast that I do use some to give slack line cast. That's usually referred to as the Lazy S cast. Now, this is used by itself entirely differently than the puddle cast. The Lazy S cast, I'm coming forward on my presentation. Just as I'm sitting right here at this desk, I'm making my forward presentation. As the line rolls over in the air, I wiggle the rod tip back and forth from side to side as that line slides out. This again creates slack on the water and get you that natural drift. See, you only need about 2 or 3 feet of drift and you've got that trout. Now, sometime I actually blend these two, the puddle cast and the Lazy S cast. But whatever you need to do, you do need to get a drag-free drift. Vince always encouraged me to, in addition to these, to try a different location. Say you're working on a good trout out there on the stream. He's coming up, you're showing him your fly, you're showing him all your favorite flies, and nothing works. You may be getting drag that he perceives that we do not perceive. A simple way to get around that is just change the position that you're standing when you make that presentation. Move upstream, downstream, across stream, whatever it takes. That slight angle will enable your line and leader to fall on different currents. That may give you the slack line you need. Just don't overlook the little olive. That was always Vince's word. And like I say, those really great streams in Pennsylvania are some of my favorite. The Latorte, Big Spring, over at Newville. Fisherman Paradise up at Belfont is just, that's the one Hewitt developed a long, long time ago. That's a wonderful stream. But these are all great. Oh, listen, one other thing I do on this. I always dress my fly, all those I've just dressed. I dress them the day before with the Murray's Dry Fly floating, and then if you forget it the day before, try to dress them an hour or so before you get on the stream and then redo them when you get there. I also dress my leader as well as a fly with the dry fly floating. I firmly believe this gives you a more natural presentation by keeping the leader up on the surface. If you have any question on this, call me on this and I'll be glad to help you. But those streams are really wonderful. And this hatch, it's a multi-brooded hatch, but it's very good right now. All right, let's look about the smallmouth bass. Last month, I was telling you how the bass leave the shallow water and go into some of the deeper areas. This month, I'm going to fine-tune the three specific areas in which I get some good smallmouth bass fishing at this time of the year. And I do play some sinking line games at this time of the year to help get my flies down. The first one I want to talk about is the river crossing ledge. These are the ones that there's some deep water right upstream of the ledge. All right, to fish that, this is exceptionally good on the South Fork of the Shenandoah and on the upper part of the James. I wade in below these ledges, downstream of the ledges. I wade right up to them where I'm standing 2 feet below them. I'm casting up and up and across stream, letting my fly sink down as deep as it'll go and strip it back downstream just a little bit faster than the current. I'm trying to mimic a minnow swimming along the bottom. Trial and error has shown me that Murray's Olive strength in a size 10, because of the way we construct that, it doesn't collapse like a marabou streamer would. Casting that up and stripping it back just a little faster than the current, fanning cast all back and forth across that deep water in front of you will give you a lot of good bass, and it's an area that doesn't get that much pressure. So that's the one area I fish. And oh, by the way, then I use a floating line on that with the Murray's Bright Butt 2X later, but I do use a floating line on that thing of going those river crossing ledges. All right, the back eddy. When we float the river at this time of the year, this is one area we really know we go to these one after another. You can also wait them. You want to stay back tight to the bank because sometimes these back eddies might be 4 to 6 feet deep. So if you're waiting it, you want to stay tight to the bank. If you're floating, you want to anchor the boat 10 feet out from the outside edge. These ledges, back eddies can range from 10 feet in diameter to 50 feet in diameter. They are outstanding. There's a lot of food in there. The problem is getting down to them. I want a line that sinks at about 4 to 8 inches per second. I use the Scientific Angler Sonar Warm 200 line. That's 200 grains now. The first 30 feet of this sinks like man overboard. That's going to take you down real quickly. The first 30 feet goes down real fast on that. I use the Murray 6-foot fluorocarbon 2X leader on that to help hold those flies down. Fishing the Magnum Darter, the Magnum Creek Chub, the Magnum Horg Sucker back in there. And just cover all of that back eddy. Make sure everybody in there has seen your fly. This probably is going to give you more big fish than anything you can do in a relatively small area, because some of these areas are half the size of my fly shop here in town. And, you know, we know them on the river, so we go from 1 to 1 to 1 to 1 on down the river, and away we go. Now, the third area that has a lot of deep water that holds the fish are the long, deep pools that form below the riffles. These deep pools may last, they may go 200 or 300 feet down the river. Can get up to maybe 6 feet deep. You can wade along the side, you can float them, whatever you're doing, you want to work down the stream. You're casting down and across stream at about a 20-degree angle and crawl these across the bottom. I use the same line I just mentioned, that Scientific Angler Sonar sink head. It's a sinking head line backed up with sort of an intermediate line, but that gets down at 4 to 8 inches per second, and just sweep that down through all the deep water, working your way downstream, 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 all the way. Now, those three techniques are by far the most effective areas and tactics I've used on the smallmouth at this time of the year. This will be good through the whole month of November. Warm days, we're calling for a very warm day out here this afternoon. I just might have to try some of the same thing I'm talking about right here. If you have any questions on any of this, give me a ring. I cover some of this in the schools. We've got starting this coming Saturday. We've got schools going on almost every Saturday here in the fly shop. Some on bass, some on trout, some on casting, some on fly tying. But from now until March, we've got a class going on almost every Saturday in here from 10 to 12. And many of these topics I've covered in these discussions will be covered in those slideshow. Ring me if you have any questions. I'm at 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.